Good morning.
Good afternoon.
Good evening.
Good night.
This is... My name is John.
My name is Arvin.
And this is...
Behind the Scenes
of Our Best Days. Season...
Season 7.
Yes. Wow. Oh my gosh. Season 7. And we are in a car right now with our friend, Cody. Can he get himself... Disregard this gold pipe cleaner. It was a gift from... Okay, yeah, he got himself.
Yeah, we're good.
It was a gift from Monty, which is my youngest... little
son.
Yes, my youngest little son. My youngest son. He's not that little. Okay. So, anyways, we decided to do. Oh, this classical music can't come on. We decided to do this podcast in the car. Why? Because God is always on the move.
That's right. When I think of when I think of church, I think of being on the move. In fact.
Anyways, no, we're joking. But we did want to do something different because this is season 7 and it's exciting. And we just finished in January with conference and Christmas production. And we went to some film festivals for the Center film.
Yeah.
And now we are in middle of production for Easter. A lot of things are happening. It is currently right now February 2024 at Victory, and so it is Valentine's Day. Mm-hmm. In fact, today, part of what we are doing, you're like, where are they even going to drive? I know. We have so much built-up intrigue. I almost threw up. built-up intrigue. Cody, my bro, do you have the florals back there?
Yep.
Okay, so we are going to be giving flowers to mi madre, which is Pastor Sharon, the founding pastor.
Yeah.
And then flowers to, can you see that? You see it? And then flowers to Gran-Gran.
Yes.
Gran-Gran is turning 100 years old at the end of February.
That's right.
Isn't that wild?
That is wild.
It's so crazy. And she came over with my dad. And I'm going to wrap this up, and it seems like I have no emotion towards this, but I'm just going to say it quickly just to catch all of you guys up. this podcast is about the behind the scenes of Victory Church. The reason why we say behind the scenes of our best days is because in every single service, we say a victory confession. And within that victory confession, we say the words,
my best days are right in front of me.
And so we like to talk about the behind the scenes of the best days because everyone has them, including Gran-Gran. See, full circle. Turn of events. Gran-Gran, her husband died in a hunting accident. True story. My grandpa.
I didn't know that.
He died in a hunting accident.
That's awful.
And my dad had to identify the body.
That's awful.
It is awful. I know. But talk about episode 1 of season 7. again, we're not laughing or making light of it.
No,
it happened a long time ago.
Yeah.
So my dad, during that time, he had transferred to ORU from playing D2 football, and him and my mom were living off of like tuna fish and ramen noodles and staying in like a garage apartment, and they had this dream to build Victory. And then he was like, mom, these are the words, because she was working at a radio station as a janitor, and then she did like disc jockey and then also admin work at this radio station in Magnolia, Arkansas. And he said, mom, you can stay there, be sad and die early, or you can move to Tulsa and help us build Victory.
Yeah.
Wow. That's what my dad said.
Yeah.
And I was like, you said that to your mother?
He goes, yeah.
And then Gran-Gran tells the story of that. So she was the very first admin for Billy Joe Daugherty. Her and my mom and my dad, fast forward 43 years later, we have a camp. Two Tulsa Dream Centers, one out north, one west. We have a school, pre-K through 12th grade, Bible college, and a church with other campuses, and we do missions work.
Yeah.
It's just a lot.
A lot, absolutely.
Anyways, so we are trying to find a way to celebrate Gran-Gran because she's been so faithful. She turns 100 years old, and and it's Valentine's Day, and people need flowers on Valentine's.
Yeah.
Who is someone you wouldn't give flowers to?
Anyone but my wife, honestly.
Oh, that's good.
I guess I'd give them to my mom.
Okay. Who is someone that you think you're like, if I gave flowers to them, it could either be good or it could be weird?
And most people.
Really?
If I walked into the office and I gave you flowers, it'd be like, oh, thanks. Are these for the office?
And then you'd go,
no, they're for you. You'd be like, okay, all right.
Yeah, I guess it comes down to how I interpret it.
That's up to you. That's true.
But if I'm like,
yeah.
But if I go, oh my gosh, that is so thoughtful that you bought me flowers.
Sure.
But then when people walk by our office and they go, cool flowers.
Yeah.
And then I go, Arvin got them.
They go, okay, all right. Okay.
And then they just moonwalk out of there and they report us to HR.
They go, this was like a lot of flowers. It was like,
anyways, but yes, so the thing that we wanted to talk about is honoring up and honoring down, honoring all around. Okay, so Pastor Paul, in this most recent sermon, he was talking about the importance of relationships and the types of people in your life, mm-hmm. and his sermon can be found on YouTube, really, really great word, but some of the things that he was talking about was the type of relationships in your life.
Yeah.
Okay, is that you honor down by pouring into people. You have friends that sit shotgun or backseat with a camera, like Arvin and Cody, and then you have people that pour into you.
Yeah.
Someone like a mentor.
Sure.
And that's what he was talking about, relationships.
Yeah.
But for me, I don't know about you guys, it is hard for me to find an older... I've had older men in my life pour into me, but now I'm like turning 40 and I'm like... Mm-hmm. I have to be that guy.
No, sure.
I'm sure that there's, in this day and age, I can get mentoring through podcasts, reading books.
Right.
Is it bad for me to say there's not an older person that I go to or I meet up once a week and I say, mentor me?
I don't know if that's bad. I think...
Is that something missing from my life?
I
and for those of you watching...
There are seasons where you... You have an individual that's particularly there, and then there are other seasons where it's more like, I'm going to hopefully figure out what I need and go find it, because it is available. There are podcasts, there are videos on YouTube, there are books, and sometimes the mentor you need probably isn't in your zip code, which is, the point is not to avoid having an in-person relationship. Like, if that's possible and there are individuals available to you like that, you should go for it.
Yeah.
But you shouldn't, not having that shouldn't be an excuse for not having mentors in your life. Like, you can, they're available. You can get, and you'd be surprised. I think the interesting thing about it is that when you think of mentor, you think that it might be the person that you would want to emulate in every way. And that person probably doesn't exist. There are mentors I have that are financial mentors, and then that's what they mentor me in. There are mentors that are spiritual mentors, and that's what they, you know.
Okay, yeah, I would agree with that. I have certain mentors in different areas. Like, for if you work at a church, like, you know, there is, I probably say, I guess there's one guy who I can talk to when it comes to church things.
Sure.
About behind the scenes and working with, you know, but then it's unique because I also work with family.
Fair. Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
At a family ministry.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so sometimes not everything that they say correlates, or, it, you know, but it's still, yeah, okay, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, so you can find them in different categories. There are individuals I talk to because I'm like, we're blessed at Victory that we have Jeff Guter as the CFO.
Yeah,
and
super
so
dude.
Early on, I've been on staff for a little over 5 years, and a couple years into being on staff, I was like, look at this guy who... never inserts himself into the frame for being in the center of attention. He is very, very diligent about making sure everything operates smoothly and carefully, that we do the best we can as a ministry to steward finances and resources. He's really, really good at it. He's very, so I was like, okay, he's really good at that. He's doing good at something that you wouldn't assume if you got into ministry.
Yeah.
Like, you need to, that's not the first thing that comes to mind that you
right.
have to be good at. And then he's also, I noticed, he never is in a rush.
Jeff.
You would think that.
You talk, okay, and I'm glad you're bringing this up, because you said, in the life of a believer, there are three areas, and I know we've said this in another podcast, but I think it's worth bringing it up again, that he is at a level that is...
Oh, sure.
Say it.
It was an idea, it was Kyrie Newhoff and John Mark Comer talking about... the spiritual journey, and they talked about the six stages that an individual goes through. And the majority of the churches in the United States are specifically called to the first three.
And that is?
You accept Christ, and then you get activated into a church, you get plugged into a community and a body, and you're working on behalf of the church. You're involved, you're volunteering, you're like plugged in. It's a serious part of your life. It's not just, oh, you go to church every so often. Stage three is like, it starts to make decisions for you, and it determines relationships for you, and it starts to,
so you start looking at life through the lens of being a part of that church.
That's right. That's
okay.
Right. And then most individuals, unfortunately, stay there, and they don't.
Most
really...
individuals and would you say churches? But I feel like it's really not the church's job to continue to push them past that step three.
So far, I'm not going to say what the church should do.
Yeah, that's smart.
But for the majority of churches, they're ministering to those first three groups. And then what happens in stage four is individuals hit a wall. And then after they hit that wall, they're not necessarily certain of what's supposed to happen next. There's like a confusing, disappointing series of events in their life. Something happens. They go into
a
trial.
A death, a loss, sure, a heartbreak.
Some kind of loss.
Yeah.
And that really determines if a person is going to continue. Or what happens often is you're going to deconstruct and step away. And what happens if you do that, I'm just repeating what John Mark Comer said, but if what happens when you do that is that you then start over at stage one, either again in church or somewhere else, where you would get disillusioned and you get upset and disappointed. So you kind of take a step back from church, and maybe you still go every so often.
But it's it's just not at a church. It's like, let's say, a coffee shop.
Yeah, you can start. Yeah, no, it's true.
You become a barista.
You become something else. You become more interested in other things. And with Jeff, I noticed he's like a stage five, stage six person. So stage four is that you hit a wall and you press through it, you push through it. Stage five is that you get recommitted to the things that, if you were to persist past stage four and the difficult things that happen there, you then are reactivated into the same kind of service, but the motivations are different now. At stage two, you're probably like, I need to meet people, and I need to meet a spouse maybe, or I'm motivated by, I want to use my gifts and talents. And stage five, it's more like, I'm doing this because I'm called to do this, and I'm doing it irregardless of permission from others or being seen by others. And then stage six is what they call a life of love. And the whole time he's quoting another work that's on the critical journey for the believer. I forget the author's names right now, but I think of Jeff as like a stage six person.
So going all the way back to the mentor that is currently at Victory, who's their chief financial officer or CFO, Jeff Guter, he is someone who's on that level six.
Yeah, just living a life of love.
And that's your like, expertise. That is something that I would aspire.
I'm very far from it, so I'm like, I want to tap into what goes through that guy's mind. And a lot of people like Jeff, if you were to ask them to just sit down and talk, they will do it. They're willing to just share. There are a lot of business leaders. There are a lot of people in different, like, not just in ministry capacities, who are willing to share what they've learned. And it's not like, oh, what they're saying is gospel. That's too much pressure. But it's more so the more repetition you get of hearing their stories and hearing how they approach life and asking questions and whatever, then long term you find yourself going, okay, I don't know everything I'm supposed to do. I don't know how, I'm not going to do things the same way that they did because their situation was different, but you're a little bit more well positioned for, oh, that makes sense. Because in Jeff's case in particular, he's a husband and a father, he's a grandfather. So he's got all these responsibilities in his personal life that he's handling. And then he's got responsibilities in church. He's got expertise. And so not only is he operating in his expertise, but he's also teaching other people to be those experts and trying to, you know. So he's so far beyond where I'm at. I haven't even had kids yet. So I'm like, okay, this dude's like three or four levels above me. Let me just see if I can keep up. And he's been a perfect example. So I think a lot of people, they want their mentor to be the popular person on the platform, and that's fantastic. And
yeah.
any time that you do get with those individuals is great. Like if Pastor Paul and I were to, anytime we've sat down together, it's a great time. But it is absolutely unrealistic to think that I'm going to like meet with him once a week, because he, imagine how many people want to do that. He needs to have time for himself too. He needs to be mentored and do his thing and whatever.
It is interesting because you look at the three relationships that, you know, were talked about this past weekend in the service, and then you just look at, then there's even breakdown branches of friends.
Oh, sure.
Like how there are, and we've talked about this before, but like if you serve at a church mm-hmm. or if you're ever interested or maybe you're listening to this, you have certain friendships that you're like, because of, we are friends because we work in this building.
Sure. Proximity. Yeah.
Proximity.
Yeah.
We are
yeah.
friends because of proximity. I really enjoy being with you.
Yeah.
You know?
Sure.
Outside of work, if we hang out, it may be like at a Christmas staff
sure.
party.
Sure. Yeah.
You're just a great conversation and
yeah, yeah, yeah.
And absolutely. We enjoy each other's company.
Sure.
All right. But those people can't be, and what's always great is when you know what you are in people's lives.
That's right.
Absolutely. Then you don't have uncommunicated expectations.
That's right. Yeah.
Because
yeah.
really, and I'm about to quote another podcast, but they said yeah. uncommunicated expectations
yeah.
are premeditated resentments.
Mm. That's very good.
And I was like,
that's
that's true.
Yeah.
Because whenever I have a resentment towards someone, it's because, oh, I had a, this expectation that we were going to be closer than we were. Mm-hmm. When in reality, when they were like, hey, we're cool. We're just not going to hang out. And so
yeah.
if you continue to ask me to hang out, or if you continue to want to meet up for a date or for dinner or whatever, mm-hmm. don't be offended if I say, yeah. hey, I can't make it. Because one thing I try not to do anymore, I did this when I was younger. I hate lying to people.
Yeah.
I hate saying, oh, and then making up a lie.
Yeah.
I used to do that. I'm yeah. just being honest. This is behind the scenes. Fair. I used to lie and because I didn't want to hurt that person's feelings.
Yeah.
But then within the last few years, I'm like, I'm just no longer going to do that. I'm just going to go, hey, I'm not able to make it tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And then I don't say anything else.
Nice.
I go, but thank you
yeah.
so much for the invite.
Yeah.
Because in reality, most people don't follow up with, oh, why not?
Mm-hmm.
When people do, I say, hey, I really set aside this time for me just to calm my mind. And so yeah. this is one of those nights that I just have hardcore boundaries that I've blocked off.
Yeah.
And I go, but I appreciate you thinking about me.
Sure. No, sure.
You know?
Absolutely.
So, but adjusting expectations, so that's on my end. But whenever I get upset is whenever whenever I have not adjusted my expectations, maybe, mm-hmm. is when it's happened with, you know, a friend who, you know, we were close, we were friends, and then they're no longer in my vicinity.
Sure.
And then there's no real reason to, like,
yeah,
hang out or talk.
Sure, that makes sense.
But
yeah.
That friendship still served a reason.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Anyways, yeah. I know I've said this before on multiple podcasts.
Yeah.
Not everyone is in your life for life.
Mm-hmm. And that's okay. That's fine. Yeah. That would be a strange setup if that had to be the case.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think some of the strains that people get, if you're in ministry, you get several strains. You get a strain from people wanting to vampire.
Yeah.
Unintentionally.
Yeah.
But they, like, if you are someone who really notices people,
mm-hmm.
if you are someone who celebrates people and who is verbally encouraging, people are going to be drawn to that. You become a magnet for people who need that. People who don't need it, who do it for themselves,
yeah.
they actually are like, hey, thank you for saying that.
Yeah.
But people who need it will then be drawn to you.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I don't want to call them mosquitoes, but like a mosquitoes to,
sure.
You know,
yeah.
a vein.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's like, that is, I don't know. Anyways, long story short,
yeah.
Good, spirit-filled, amazing people are now drawn to you. And whenever you're around them,
yeah.
you leave them and you go, man, I feel great because I was able to pour into that individual.
Right.
But when you are looking to be refreshed, you don't want to be with that individual.
That's fair. Yeah, absolutely.
And so, so like that is a strain sometimes in ministry. And so then you're also handled with, okay, so when do I feel refreshed? Sometimes when you're around people who don't expect anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, they let you just be.
They let you be, you know? And then there's friendships that I feel like if you are a pastor or something, that they need to, they're almost like the, like how Paul says in the Bible, the thorn in his side that helps him grow. You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like there's people that you need that prod you.
Right.
Like I think in 2024, most of us have, we have goals. Maybe you haven't said them out loud, but subconsciously you have them. You do need people who are like accountability.
Yeah.
Checking up, totally. Poking and prodding. Totally. Hey, how is this? How is that?
Yeah.
If the wrong person asks me, I go, I just look at them and I, I'm good. So it is interesting. The personalities that have to fit that mold.
I think God picks that stuff for you.
And yeah.
If you try to navigate it yourself, it gets exhausting. And then you go, I just don't want to know anybody.
Yes. So the word to everyone who is trying to network.
Yikes. Yeah, I'm not the guy to... I'm sure there's a purpose for it.
Yes.
I've never enjoyed it. Most of the time I'm in the corner making fun of it with somebody else. And that's the person that I connect with. Because I go, right, because this is, you know... Or if you just see them as different, then if it serves a purpose of this is for work we do, that makes sense. But then if it's in the context of, like, all my friends are my network, and it's all just, it gets, you know, no one likes to feel that way from anybody.
That's
like
true.
Your friendship is not genuine, it's merely transactional.
Yeah.
That sucks.
So, yeah. And then, you know, and then it's also nice to have people that are really deep spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
For me... I just love to, I love deep spiritual moments with God. You know, for me, someone who I just hang out with naturally, they're not always in that deep place.
Sure.
You know, they're just people that enjoy a good movie or...
Totally
good. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's awesome.
But whenever I am in need for like a word from the Lord or something like that.
Sure.
There are people that I contact and, and that may sound like I'm using them, but
no, if that's their role in your life and they know that and you know that. Then
I think different. That is what it's more is knowing, knowing your role and in your friend's life and knowing, and then your friend knowing the role. And
Then then you both have your expectations. About
you and me had a conversation like this in the beginning of January. Or it was after Christmas break.
Yeah, absolutely. I could see my role shifting, and I was like, I'm going to be good at this. I'm going to do it really well. I'm going to handle it well.
Yeah, Arvin sat me down, and he expounded upon, like, he was like, hey, this is what I'm sensing. This is where I'm at. And I was like, okay. And just said everything that was, at one point, atmospheric. Or feeling.
Yes, yes.
Or it was like vibes. Yes,
absolutely.
And it wasn't said outright.
Sure. Yeah.
Man, and I really appreciated that.
Yeah, I think it serves us both really well to know there are... The great problem to have is an ever-increasing amount of people who are gifted in specific areas. And I have the luxury of being a secure individual who can look around and go, that person's great at this. And I used to do that. So I'm going to not do that. And I'm going to empower them and help them and listen to them even and take their, you know, whatever they're saying they're going to do. And I just don't know of a different way to operate in life besides that. Because if you're elbowing to keep something God gave you, it means that he can't trust you with more.
Right.
Because what he already gave you, you're going to... militarize it against other individuals. And I'm grateful people have not done that to me. And those who have, I don't know them, you know, on purpose.
Yeah.
But I knew I was not to do that to anybody. You know, now it's like I can find joy.
And he's talking about like in the midst of Victory Productions.
Yeah, no, yeah. Seeing like we have so many gifted people and it's like now my role is support them. Now my my thoughts are not about just, oh, what's a creative idea? Now it's sort of like what I learned from Jeff is he's training other people to operate with expertise. It's how do I find an individual who would have the creative idea? I don't need a creative idea right now. I could do that, but that's boring compared to let's find five people that all have five creative ideas. Now it's multiplying, and instead of being disappointed by the idea of being replaced, now you're invigorated by the idea of you're almost organically being promoted as you're serving more people. Now it's like, we need that person's ideas. We need this individual's ideas. And we need to, like, let me know how to serve their idea and actualize it. And I just think it's more fun because then you have more people involved. You're multiplied by all of everybody's brain power versus just mine. And I think that's a better way to approach life and work.
I really believe that. That's a beautiful thing. Thank you for saying that.
Yeah, of course.
And in closing, I really believe that it is cool to have this thing that all of us have wanted in our life. Because people are like, in the back of their mind, they're like, oh, I'm working on something.
Sure.
You know, God is at work. Mm-hmm. God is at work. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, at work with what?
Sure.
Whether they're believing for their marriage to be healed, or they're believing for $1 million, or they're believing for their dream house, or they're believing for land, or they're believing for... Everyone has that thing. Every person.
Absolutely.
And I do believe that we are almost like that role.
Mm-hmm.
That role is available.
Yeah.
And we, like, are getting called into audition rooms.
Yeah. Wow.
And God's like,
yeah,
okay, this is your audition.
Let's see. Yeah.
Let's see if you can handle the role.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe you getting not a main part is part of seeing if you're ready for the main part.
Totally. Yeah.
And so I was just thinking about, okay, I don't want to throw anyone under the bus.
No, sure.
But this current project that we're doing, this Easter production,
mm-hmm.
we are doing this and people auditioned.
Yeah.
We casted them. And how was the filming?
Phenomenal. Excellent.
Why was it phenomenal?
Probably the most appreciative group of people I've ever met.
The most appreciative group
like
of people.
Invested, intentional. Yeah.
Yeah. And here's the thing. Yes, these people are volunteer, but no one acted too big for their britches.
Nobody did.
And no one was like unthankful. And
totally.
It was like...
Totally. Yeah. But,
and here's the thing. We've had that in the past.
Of course.
Now, I let it slip and slide sometimes because I go, they are volunteers.
Sure. Sure, sure,
you know,
sure.
So it's understandable.
Yeah, it's very rare, but when it does happen, it's interesting.
But this year, it was like, oh, man. Well, then we have this one day where we have extra cast and crew join us.
Totally.
One day, we're filming, and we needed more of a crowd, so we have some extra cast and crew. Now, we had several hundred people send in their auditions.
Yeah.
And there's a team of people that help pick who these main roles are.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And again, this is all, someone could be incredible. I'm talking like, who is someone that won an Oscar?
Killian Murphy's about to win one.
Killian Murphy, Daniel Day-Lewis.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, absolutely.
Daniel Day-Lewis could walk in. I would say we would cast Daniel
Day-Lewis. Probably.
I would cast him as Mother Mary.
Okay, Jesus maybe a bad. And the devil.
Okay, that was probably a bad example. But basically, what I'm saying is Daniel Day-Lewis, Leonardo DiCaprio, those people could walk in. If the role, like for instance, if the script is all centered around children, guess what? There's not a part for them.
That's right.
And it doesn't mean that they're not good actors.
No, it's
it just
objective.
Means that the script changes every single year. And so sometimes we have more of something. Sometimes we have less. More ladies, more men part, more older women, more older men, more kids roles. You know, there's one Jesus role.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, you do have to pick someone. And at the end of the day, there are people who will not be picked.
That's true. Yeah.
And so how people handle that is such an interesting...
Totally.
You just watch it.
Yeah.
So we're at this thing, and you have a larger cast join our current cast for this one film day.
Yeah.
And this individual comes up, and we've already gotten all these different calls.
Yes. Yes, about... You know, the.
Yes.
There was an example of someone who did not like that they weren't picked for a specific role. And they kept asking every single person, like, why not, why not, why not? And so we'd give reasons, like, oh, but this particular story, it was this type of character, and we needed someone that fits this description. That's just how it happened. Keep trying, because there are plenty of examples. There are a lot of examples of people who audition 10, 12 times, and the script doesn't really line up with their particular description. And then when it does, it's perfect. We plug them in, you know. This person, which happened only a few times, a handful of times, where it's like, I'm going to be adamant about bothering you about, you need to change this. You need to make me the star. I need to be in charge.
This individual, I was talking to a group of volunteer cast.
Yeah.
Maybe four or five.
Sure.
And this individual, who's also a volunteer cast, mm-hmm. who definitely sacrificed their time to be there,
absolutely.
Came up and was like, why wasn't I cast as a main role?
Yeah.
In front of these other people.
That's fantastic.
Other people who were not main roles.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
No, you know what it's giving? It's giving in the Gospels when the two clueless disciples go to Jesus and they go, hey, when you get to heaven, can we sit on your right hand?
Yeah,
and the other disciples are like, dude, what the heck?
Yeah.
And he's like, and Jesus says, I don't choose that.
No, it's true. Yeah.
And so now, of course, I can't say that to this person because we literally
there's a casting committee.
There is a casting committee.
We intentionally refuse ourselves.
But because of this attitude and this incessant, I was like, in my mind, I was like, you will never be casted as a main person.
It'd be a nightmare.
It'd be a nightmare.
Main part.
Because
if you
had a few lines, you would want more lines.
No, it's true. Until you're playing every character and you're in charge of everything. And even then, it's not enough. Whatever you think you're going to get is not going to be what it is. What you need is actually contentment in Christ.
Yes. Yeah. Contentment in Christ. And it goes back to what we said.
Yeah.
Uncommunicated expectations are premeditated resentments.
Yeah, that's a good example of that.
Whenever it comes to relationships or opportunities, really, really investigate your expectations before anything.
Mm-hmm.
I believe in stepping out. I believe in doing something and daring greatly.
Totally.
I believe in that.
Totally.
I believe in expecting a miracle.
Yeah.
But when I expected a miracle when we prayed for my dad to raise from the dead.
Sure.
And he didn't raise from the dead.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that I no longer believe in miracles.
Of course.
That was an extreme example.
Sure.
But I'm giving you range.
Yeah.
I think that's what we're trying to do. Behind the scenes at any ministry, those of you who serve at a church, you know there is opportunity for resentment.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's in friendships, relationships, mentorship, or non-mentorship, or opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
What I would love for you to do is investigate your expectations, because you could be in the waiting room
mm-hmm.
for a role that God has for you.
Totally. Yeah.
And this is just an audition.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
Anyways, well, hey, thank you guys so much for listening and watching this podcast.
Our first mobile episode.
Our first mobile episode. And Cody Kurse, may I have the flowers? And now we're going to take flowers to Grand Grand. Remember, give flowers to people that you care about.
Yeah.
Unless if it is your friend and it's going to be weird.
Yeah. But you don't have to.
Okay. Dudes, signing out. We love
you. See you guys. Thanks.
See you. Bye.